Friends, I echo the words of the great St. Paul in urging you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received. Every single one of us is being called by God right now. And as a matter of fact, at every moment, to grow deeper into relationship with Him according to His unique will for each of us. But how many of us are listening? And of those who are listening, how many are responding generously when they do hear Him call? Far too many people today don't even bother to ask God what His will is for them, what He wants them to do with their lives. This is an age of self-invention. It's all about what I want to become, right? So God is seen as a competitor to our freedom and happiness, a competitor to be rejected, pushed aside. He's a nuisance because we see Him as holding us back. Yet the reality is that God is fully committed to you, to leading you to flourishing by helping you to understand who you really are. Not who you think you are, who you want to be, who you really are. And only then can you become the wonderful person you were created to be. And God's will is the key for us to discovering this. Therefore, even if you're already committed to a particular vocation, perhaps marriage and family life, there's a number of families here, right? God still calls you every day to guide you within that vocation. You may have heard the phrase, the vocation within the vocation. That's what we're pointing at here. In short, only with God will you become who you were created to be and reach your fullest potential. Only with God. But how do we live in this worthy manner that Paul is talking about? Well, just continue listening to him, actually. That's a good start. And live with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love. Not an easy task, right? But a worthy one. However, you must first hear. You got to hear the call. And in order to do this, you must be open to God, looking first to Him for guidance, as opposed to yourself or any worldly influences. So you have to hear first. Next, you must accept the call. You must accept what you hear and make Him the center of your life. Make God the center. Only then will you be able to live in this worthy manner and allow God to make you all the more humble, gentle, patient, and loving as He increasingly draws you nearer to Him. Of course, all of this flies in the face of what the world often shouts at us. They don't just gently make recommendations, shouting it down our throats. But be not afraid. Be not afraid. God's love is all about you. He doesn't benefit at all from all that He gives us. He's not looking for anything in return. He's eternally happy, whether we accept Him or not, whether we walk with Him or not. He wants us to be with Him. That's why He loves us. But His love is all about you. So it doesn't benefit Him. It only benefits you. And only if you accept it. He's never going to force His love on us. We have to say yes. And the more you accept His love, the more you become like Him, reaching out to others with self-emptying love, not self-serving love, self-emptying love. And in Paul's words, striving to preserve unity through the bond of peace. Paul's pointing us to the cross, brothers and sisters, because that's where we find the self-emptying love. And that's through the cross, Jesus brings about the possibility of peace and unity. And He gives it to us, especially in the sacrament of the Eucharist, which is the sacrament of unity. So this is all very crucial, where Paul's pointing us. Now, if you do this, then you'll be preoccupied with building up other people, not yourself. You'll be preoccupied with building up the one body of Christ through the one Spirit, as Paul is urging us to do. This is what it means to be a Eucharistic people. And in a society that increasingly divides, pushes out to the extremes, and encourages this polarization that we're stuck in, it's so essential for us to follow God in lovingly seeking unity. It's not all about me. It's about building this unity, this one body. Now, this is tough, of course. This is not an easy task. But as we heard a couple weeks ago in the second reading from 2 Corinthians, from Paul, his grace is sufficient for all of us. It's possible. We have to trust in him. In today's gospel passage, Jesus very clearly points toward the Eucharist and the unity that it necessarily brings about. But he also conveys a subtle yet crucially important message, namely to trust in him above all else, even when it seems like he's calling you to do something impossible. And yes, there will be difficulties and doubts if you pursue your calling and walk with him. Absolutely, there will be. You might be asking a question like Andrew today. He's like, well, this boy has a couple loaves and a couple fishes, but there's 5,000 people here. What good is this going to do? Jesus says, trust me. Trust me. Just let me do what I do, right? There's going to be struggles any which way you go, whether you follow Christ or not. You might as well walk with him through the struggles, right? Trust in him. And if you do trust in him, he will deliver and do amazing things in your life. Not just kind of marginally good things. He'll do amazing things in your life, far beyond what you've ever imagined. Note, though, that he will give you everything you need, not everything you want. We have to be careful. You know, God isn't like a celestial vending machine. Like, if I pray 10,000 Hail Marys, I'll get the biggest Snicker bars ever, you know. It doesn't work that way. He's not at your beck and call, like, okay, I accept Jesus into my life, and so now it's like I have Jesus on a chain like a dog. Jump, you know, roll over, you know, do something for me, do what I tell you. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Today's psalmist beautifully confirms this truth. The eyes of all look hopefully to you, and you give them their food in due season. Not with instant gratification when they demand it and demand whatever they want. In due season. He gives us our food. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. So seeking the true, the good, and the beautiful, he gives us these gifts. But in due time, we have to remember, in due time. So you must be willing to accept what he gives, not what you're demanding, what he gives. And then you will allow him to multiply whatever little, whatever couple loaves or whatever little you have, into superabundant blessings for the many. And for yourself too, of course. And this is how we build up that unity and that through that bond of peace that Paul is talking about. This is how we become more and more the Eucharistic people that we're created to be. And when you do this, then you're going to realize that this life in God, in and through him, is a fun and marvelous adventure. It's an excellent life, full of exciting twists and turns. You never quite know where God's going to take you. Self-invention, however, is the opposite. It's actually boring and it's limiting. If we only focus on what's in our mind and what we want, we actually kind of dig ourselves into a trench. And we can't see out of it. There's so much else out there, but we're rejecting that because I want what I want. Don't you tell me I want what I want, right? That's this self-invention. And it gets boring after a while, right? Because all you have is your thoughts and your desires, and after a while you get sick of that, right? And it also leads you into paths of sin because you're prioritizing yourself over God. You're effectively making yourself God. And what happens then? You get into sin. And sin's predictable. We know what's going to happen when we commit sin. We don't know what's going to happen when we choose God. We know it's going to be beautiful. We know that he's out for our best interest, but we don't know what kind of an adventure he's going to lead us on. That's exciting. As some of you that were here a few weeks ago, my first weekend, I gave some testimony, and I'm going to kind of revisit that because I've tried both ends of the spectrum. For the first 30 years of my life, it was all about what I wanted. God, I didn't reject God. He was in the picture, but he was a sideshow. So it was about me. I wanted to be an engineer. You know, that was going to be my big thing. And that was going to help lift my family out of poverty. And then I was going to be this big MBA. You know, I was going to be this corporate tycoon. I was going to be, you know, this businessman. I had those careers. And I did kind of live that life. And it wasn't like I was completely miserable. I had good friends. I had a good job. You know, I was working for Amazon.com. I left Amazon.com to go to the seminary, a company that's growing 40 to 50% a year and still is. You know, who knows how much money I'd be making now, but I left that behind because I realized that even though I had a lot of what the world says you need to be happy, deep down inside, wasn't getting it done. And so this last 10, I think it's almost 11, well, about 11 years now, that God finally broke through and said, hey, you know, you got to try something different here if you want to be fulfilled. And so I did. As crazy as it sounded, I'm like, what little do I have? What? How can I, me, become a priest? Now you got to be kidding me. That's absurd. But I kept following him. And I got to tell you, this life as a priest is absolutely marvelous. I'm way more fulfilled than I was, back in my corporate days. Just beautiful. And it's unpredictable. I mean, I never thought that I was going to come here for one thing. I never thought I would come back to Bozeman as the priest here at Resurrection. And it's been a wonderful blessing. I never thought I was going to go to the Blackfeet Reservation either. I didn't think I was cut out for that kind of work. The Lord sent me there. Wonderful things happened. And so, yes, I gave up, you know, I can't have sex, I can't have a family, I can't, there's a lot of things I can't do. I can't party like I used to, and never should have anyway, but I've gained so much more than I gave up. And that's what the Lord does. Not just with the priesthood, if you live your family life radically, giving yourself to the Lord first, the single life, the religious life. The Lord never leaves us hanging, brothers and sisters. He always fills us with his blessings. He wants us to flourish, and he's going to be there with us through thick and thin. And so, enough about me. I'm just urging you to follow this call of the Lord. Don't go down that path of self-invention. Don't get in the way of God's grace. Don't frustrate his grace. Do the opposite. Get out of the way. Let him do what he knows how to do and what he yearns to do in your life. Don't convince yourself that he's some kind of hindrance, that he's working against you. God doesn't have ulterior motives. As we talked about earlier, he's flourishing eternally regardless of whether I follow his will or not. Same with you. But he wants us, he yearns for us to be with him. So when he gives us his love, there's no funny business here. He does it because he has a wonderful plan for you, an exciting plan for you, so you can flourish now and with him in eternity in due time. And I'll give you a simple formula. Some of you have already heard this, that will help you to embrace your calling and live in a manner worthy of it each day, to become the beautiful, unique, vibrant child of God you were created to be, and to witness the miracles and wonders that God wants to bring about in your life. I call it the three-legged stool. It's simple, but it's difficult. The first one, and you have to do them in the right order. The first one is the sacraments. Baptism is the introduction into this life in Christ. And then after, what I call the bread and butter of the Catholic life is Eucharist every Sunday and on holy days, and frequent confession. The other sacraments help to support that as well. So that's the first and most important stool on the or leg of the stool, because in the sacraments, these are the most profound gifts God has given us. He reveals himself to us most completely in the sacraments. And so from the sacramental celebrations, we go out into our daily prayer life. And that can look different. There's a million different ways to do it. You can pray the rosary every day. You can pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet every day. You can just pray kind of freestyle from your heart. You can come to daily mass. There's a liturgy of the hours. There's a number of different devotions and novenas. And there's the options are unlimited. But the key is that we should be praying each day to the Lord. And then we unfold all these gifts that he gives us in the sacramental celebrations, because he gives us so much, there's no way we can take it in all at once. So we unfold these, we realize what he's done, and then we can accept these gifts. And then we understand what his will is for us more completely. That takes us to the third leg of the stool, which is service to our brothers and sisters in our community and beyond, according to his will, not our will. And that's key. So that's the three-legged stool: sacraments, daily prayer, and service to our brothers and sisters. And we're going to conclude now with the prayer over the offerings that you'll hear again in just a few minutes when we go get into the liturgy of the Eucharist. I encourage you to make it your own. Ask the Lord to multiply your gifts, the little that you have, and make you a more Eucharistic person, worthy of his wonderful calling for you. And just keep in mind, if he can make a priest out of me, he can make a saint out of every single one of you. So here is the prayer over the offerings. Accept, O Lord, we pray, the offerings which we bring from the abundance of your gifts. We're talking about the bread and the wine and the collection. That's what we're talking about here. That through the powerful working of your grace, these most sacred mysteries may sanctify our present way of life and lead us to eternal gladness.